So you think you're sold out, but maybe you've got 10 spaces available and someone's calling you looking for parking, and you either tell them there's no parking when there is, or you have no idea, right? And now you've got to get in your car or send someone to the yard. Hey, walk around the yard and figure out whether we have space available or not, right? So that's an obvious inefficiency that we completely automate. So our inventory system is updated based on your existing reservation and your move out activity.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the podcast, Caution Wide Right, brought to you by Compliance Navigation Specialist. I'm Luke, your host, and today we're going to talk about one of the biggest problems affecting drivers, and that's truck parking. Now, before we dive in, I do want to mention that we just recently wrapped up our 2025 Safety and Compliance Conference held in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We had over 250 companies represented, from owner-operators, medium-sized fleets to large-sized fleets. And those presentations where we talked about accident management, safety, compliance, trucking regulation changes that are coming down the roads, and so much more, those are being dropped on YouTube as we speak, and it's on our 2025 conference landing page, which I'm going to put in the bio down below. So be sure to like, subscribe, follow us, and you know, be sure to, you know, just, we don't want you to miss out on the great content that we have from this event. Now, for today, we are going to be talking again about truck parking. So whether you're looking for a nightly safe place to park your truck or trailer, or a long-term lot near where you live, we have all experienced a lack of truck parking out there on the roads. I mean, specifically for me, out in my neighborhood, I see people just saying, hey, I don't want an ugly looking semi truck near me. So they try to go park at, let's say, a grocery store location where they have a big, big lot, but they're saying, hey, no, you can't park here. So you're trying to bounce around and find a place to park, and there's not great solutions usually out there. And this affects everything from the drivers themselves to dispatchers trying to find places for their drivers. And again, if you're having something close to home, trying to find that long-term lot that's safe. The truck parking issue is more than just parking a truck. It's we're talking about amenities as well. There's different tiers of amenities, from do you just need a gravel lot to should it have a bathroom nearby and food, or do you have fueling and scales and so much more on site. There's a lot of variety, a lot of cost differences, and a lot of different ways that we can potentially solve this solution. So what are drivers or dispatchers to do? Well, one way to solve the truck parking problem is encouraging more companies, warehouses, business parks, and others to basically open up new truck parking locations on their properties. Not only does this solve the truck parking problem, but there's some extra income for those looking to help. The question is, for those companies looking to help, is it easy to manage? Is it truly profitable? And where do I even start? To help discuss all of this is the co-founder and CEO of Rig Hut, Jake Gusso. At Rig Hut Truck Parking, they're not just about providing parking solutions, they're about revolutionizing the way truck parking operations are managed. Again, before we begin, just let me know down in the comments below if there's, what issues you face on the truck parking side of things, and what were some of the solutions you've seen out there. Let us know in the comments below, and love to be able to interact with that. But hey, Jake, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Luke, and thanks for the very gracious introduction.
Yeah, no problem. Now, I am curious. So your background is in real estate, and you eventually got into sort of this logistics trucking side of things. And I'm just curious, where did this begin, and where did it eventually evolve to starting Rig Hut?
Yeah, so you're correct. I've spent the vast majority of my career in the real estate business, everything from property management to brokerage to, principal activities, buying, distressed real estate, primarily in the Midwest, repositioning them and holding them. Truck parking specifically, if we back up, we were originally looking at this from the perspective of a real estate operator, right? So we've got a fundamental shortage, right? That's the primary issue that needs to be solved. I think the private sector is most suited to solve that problem, right? We've got to get supply to meet the existing demand. So the first thing that we did was we set up a management company to operate these yards on behalf of third parties down here in South Florida. We were like, hey, you know, let's really, you know, sink our teeth in and learn this business before we try to do this at scale. So we convinced a couple of guys down here to let us run their yards. And at the time we were, you know, literally physically in the yard in a trailer, guiding drivers, showing them where to park, keeping track of inventory, you know, at first on paper, then we, you know, advanced to Google Sheets, and we were taking payments, you know, however we could get them, cash, check, Zelle, Venmo. And it got real arduous, as you can imagine, right? Once you get past, you know, 100 tenants or so, it's almost impossible to keep an accurate representation of what's happening on, you know, using that sort of tech stack. So we started looking for software to help us operate these yards. And the short version of the story is it simply didn't exist. And, you know, given that I've been in the real estate business and a bunch of different types of asset classes, I knew what I was looking for, right? There's a bunch of different property management systems, AppFolio, Buildium, you know, Yardi, more advanced. So I was like, hey, if this doesn't exist, I was talking to Jose, my co-founder, I was like, we should probably take a stab at building a tool for ourselves, right? So the first version of the product, all we were trying to do was simply facilitate the transaction, right? So pay in advance, we'll guarantee you a space and we'll give you access instructions online. At the time, it was like a static gate code, basically. And then over time, it's evolved whereby we're able to automate, you know, all components of the inventory system. So who's in the yard, where are they supposed to be parked, give landlords the ability to, you know, accurately represent what they truly have available in real time out into the market, you know, integrated invoicing, billing, payments. We built a small piece of hardware to tie that all into the gate. So drivers get the added convenience of opening the gate from their phone without having to get out of the truck. You know, if there's inclement weather, they can add multiple drivers under their account, right? If you've got multiple guys on your team that are parking in the same facility. And then for the landlords, it gives them the ability to actually track, you know, who's going in and out of the yard and timestamp that information if there's ever a need to refer back to that.
Exactly.
So the long-winded answer to your question, but basically we stumbled on it.
Well, and it's fascinating from that perspective because, I mean, obviously a lot of the drivers, what they see and face is that sort of, hey, there's maybe a software solution to try to, like, is there parking? Where can I find parking available? And then this side of the piece, too, is the management side. For the lots, is there a solution where those talk to each other, as different platforms talk to each other, or is it internally within Rig Hut as well?
There's not a direct integration yet where our platform and the marketplaces could communicate with each other. We've explored it in the past, and I think eventually that will happen. It's just going to provide the best experience for both, you know, landlords or operators and the drivers.
Yeah.
But we're not there yet. So our primary, you know, sort of offering is built for the parking operator. Whereas, you know, the guys that drive traffic are built, you know, to provide exposure and show drivers where there's parking available.
The three letter term for this iOS is industrial outdoor storage is a solution. You mentioned, you know, whether it's depressed sites or, you know, I don't know if it's during, you know, COVID and other things like that, where there is this commercial need of having revenue being generated from a landlord perspective of some property. I'm just curious, you know, explain what iOS is and why it is such a great solution on a real estate investment side.
Yeah. So iOS, in a blanket statement, I would say it's an asset class, right? So you've got apartments, you know, traditionally you've got apartments, you've got office, you've got retail, and then you've got industrial, right? Those are kind of like the four majors. iOS really wasn't a coin that was termed, or maybe it was coined, but never used until the pandemic, right? From a real estate investment perspective, you know, prior to that, there wasn't widespread acceptance that just a piece of land without any improvements, namely a building on it, would be suitable for, you know, sort of institutional investment. It was tough to finance, right? All these guys are going in with bank financing. Typically, that's the cheapest debt that they can get, and they've got to drive returns for their LPs. But it's evolved a lot in the last 4 years. So fundamentally, from a real estate operator's perspective, you want to buy quality assets in good locations that have high barriers to entry. If you look at outdoor storage, it typically, you know, most major freight markets, it meets all of that criteria. You're land constrained, right? Like if we just use South Florida as an example, we've got the Everglades to our west, we've got the Atlantic Ocean to our east, right? So geographically, we're already constrained. And then like most other municipalities, they sort of, you know, frown upon truck parking specifically down here. Like everybody wants their goods to be delivered in a super efficient and quick manner, but no one wants to provide the infrastructure to allow the transportation companies to fulfill that need, right? So fundamentally, everybody assumes rates are just going to increase over time. Now, the institutions that have figured out how to buy these assets at scale, up until, you know, 18 months ago, they really weren't interested in looking at truck parking specifically because it's management intensive typically, right? So instead of having, you know, a 5-acre site that you could lease to a single tenant like a Ryder, you know, or a JB Hunt or the like, you've got to operate, say, in that same size of facility, you'd have like 100 different tenants, right, on short-term leases. So historically, they weren't really interested, but recently, you know, everyone's kind of coming back around and they're saying, hey, you know, I have all these sites in my inventory. Maybe I wasn't able to hit my projected rent numbers, or maybe it's taking me a little longer to lease these sites to the single tenant user. Let's explore truck parking. And I think that's going to be an absolute game changer, right? Because there's so many sites in basically every market that we're in that are sitting 100% vacant, doing nothing, that could otherwise be used to satisfy, you know, the crazy demand that there is for parking.
Yes. And if you're thinking, like, hey, what's a good site? If I have property, what's a good site? What does it look like? And a lot of it is, you know, hey, trucking is all about the different routes right off of a highway, you know, whether it's an interstate or something like that. If you've got property where there's easy access, I mean, first off, that's a no-brainer. And then, you know, and then you got to think about, again, you know, is my property suitable to do this? Now, again, if you think about the different tier levels of truck parking and amenities, you can start off very basic, you know, gravel lot, or you can go all the way up to, I think you guys work with like I-95 truck parking, where there's like 1,000 locations, a Catskill, showers and fuel and so much more. Can you explain sort of the differences between those type of properties, and maybe if someone's looking to have their property being used for truck parking, how do they start? Do they start simply, or if they want to go full bore, like what's that process look like?
So if you're just looking at exploring whether or not parking could work for you, meaning can it be profitable, right, at an acceptable level, I always recommend just doing what we call like the minimum, right? Don't spend a whole ton of money creating, you know, a movie theater and putting in a restaurant. Like, don't do that yet, right? Let's get a parkable surface, which could be some sort of compacted aggregate, right? It could be asphalt millings, it could be crushed concrete, you know, whatever, gravel. And put up a fence, give security, right? Put up a gate. It could be a manual gate. We advise that you invest a few extra bucks to get a mechanized operator on the gate, put up some lights, and put up a basic camera system, right? This provides like the necessities, and it's providing your future tenants with, you know, a reasonable level of security. In terms of size, I mean, we've seen guys do this on an acre. The issue with the smaller sites is usually it doesn't stay managed parking for long. So you'll spin up the site that's an acre. Someone's going to come in that's got, you know, 10, 11, 12 trucks, and they're just going to say, hey, you know, give me a little discount and I'll take the whole yard. So that kind of removes that site from the availability pool. Most sites are like 3 to 4 acres. That's the vast majority. And then you've got the, you know, exception cases like I-95, that's almost 100 acres, Catskills, diesel, trailer repair, leasing, you know, and daily parking, trailer drop facility, you know, monthly parking. They've got everything over there. But to start, I always say, you know, if you're just testing it, if you're not sure, just do the minimum if you already have a site. From there, the market's going to tell you what you need to do, right? So for whatever reason, some sites perform better as overnight parking. Some sites perform better as monthly parking. They could be like literally a mile down the road from each other in the same exact market with the same level of improvements. But for whatever reason, the market kind of pulls you one way or the other. And I always, you know, advise people to listen to what the market is telling you. Don't try to force a drop yard when you're getting, you know, monthly parking only. Right.
Right.
And that's kind of a high level overview. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And, you know, again, the perspective that we're talking about right here is sort of that, you know, the landlord operator side. On the, you know, the truck driver side as well, we got to think, you know, we sort of address this where it's, I want to be able to have a safe place to park my lot. So knowing that it has a gate, especially a mechanized gate where it's easy access, I don't need to, you know, potentially deal with a person. You know, it's got lighting. Okay, that's good to go. But then there's also this dichotomy where, you know, the landlord wants good tenants and the truck drivers that are parking there need to be sure to, you know, respect the space, respect the property. And I'm sure whether it's a hotel room and other like kind of locations, there's always going to be those few that it's not the nicest a tenant sticking around. So how do you manage and look at that piece of it, especially with Rig Hut?
So we don't directly involve ourselves in landlord-tenant relationships or any potential disputes, but we give them the ability to manage those within the platform, right? I would say in our experience, when we were managing them ourselves, back when we first started, again, anecdotally, if you provide a quality facility and a quality level of service with respect, people will respect you. That goes for both the driver and the landlord. As long as no one's, you know, being disrespectful, being, you know, argumentative for no reason, and everyone's kind of fulfilling their end of the bargain, there's generally no issues. You know, where you run into problems is like, look, these landlords take a lot of risk, right? Capital risk to spin these things up. So a lot of them have rules to protect themselves. Like the most common one is no mechanical work can be done in the yard. Why? Because if you have a spill, right, and you contaminate that site, imagine in South Florida, if you're, you know, the water table's not very deep and that gets into the groundwater, now you've got like a potentially million to tens of millions of dollar problem. So just everybody be respectful, follow the rules, and generally there's no issue.
And I do want to touch more on sort of the, you know, starting this kind of thing up and talking about the management side of it. But I want to address first the why is truck parking a good thing to be a part of? Why is it an issue that it solves a problem for both sides, but it's something that's out there that, you know, continually is a need that these locations can have. So can you discuss a little bit about the why? Why is truck parking an issue today? I believe there's like, what, the number 39,000 truck parking spaces that were short. I mean, if you think about that, I mean, that could be worse in some locations than others. And but yeah, dive into that for me.
Yeah, who knows what the real number is?
Like
the statistic that gets thrown around is there's 3.5 million commercial drivers and there's like 330,000 parking spaces. So if you do the math there, it's like 11 drivers per legal parking space, but that's been thrown around since like 2018. So obviously we know there's been more parking built since then. Punchline is it's very bad in some markets and it's not an issue in other markets. South Florida, Southern California, Port Newark, like those are, they're probably worse than that statistic. But why truck parking? I mean, in blanket, I would say there's opportunity, right? There's a consistent need. There's a consistent problem that people are having on both sides. So drivers can't find parking. Landlords can't lease their spaces. I think there's, you know, a natural equilibrium that's going to be met there. And it's a pretty big disparity. So it's not like, you know, someone early on, I'll never forget this guy, called truck parking a fad, like as if this was going to be like here today and gone tomorrow.
Yep.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to save your message and then I'll talk to you in a few years. So it's a persistent ongoing problem that needs to be solved. And there's a lot of opportunity on both sides.
Yeah, completely agree. And I know, you know, our company focuses on safety and compliance and we want safe drivers out there. And one way to have safe drivers is having safe places to park their trucks. You know, from our perspective, you know, as they're driving down the road, their ELD, they're coming up close to their 14-hour window, their clock, where they need a pullover. They got to find a place to park, and you know, you got to have to be able to find a parking space relatively quickly in that location, or being very good about your trip plan, journey management. And it is constantly an issue, especially for long haul drivers. But then again, like I said, there's so many, you know, people complaining about local parking, residential area parking, you know, in my town, I don't know where to park nearby, things like that. Like, it's such an issue that if those drivers are thinking about, you know, this emergency to get to a location and they're not thinking about driving safely to do so, you know, we don't want that. And so we want the trucking world to be safer out there. And I think a lot of this is solving that truck parking problem and getting more sites out there. That's not just, you know, like a truck stop type of location. Now, I am curious. So on, again, to the management side, the property side, what role does local zoning laws and urban expansion play in make truck parking such a difficult problem to solve?
Huge. Yeah. They play a huge role. Look, if you go on a website called MuniCode, which is a library of municipal codes, you know, zoning regulations for most municipalities throughout the entire country, it's a really good resource. Pick any municipality and control F, right? Like, just search truck parking. It doesn't come up in most of them. And if it does come up, it's usually explicitly banned, right?
Right.
So I would say in most cases, it's a gray area, right? Like, they may allow industrial outdoor storage, but they don't define what that is. And then when you go to request approval for a truck parking business, they're like, whoa, we didn't approve that. And there's really not much that you can do unless, you know, you're lobbying for it. Like, for example, I'm just going to use South Florida because it's my backyard. We have this imaginary line that the county commissioners drew God knows when that basically surrounds the county. And it says, outside of this line, you can do nothing but agriculture. Inside this line, you can build per whatever your zoning is, right?
Yeah.
Somebody successfully convinced the county commission to take a section, actually two sections of about 1,000 acres that fall outside the line where you could really only run agricultural uses, convinced the 9 commissioners or a majority to allow truck parking in that overlay, right?
Right.
Which down here is unheard of, right? It's like the county says no, it's no. There's no rebuttal. I mean, I don't know this guy personally and I don't know the story, but that undoubtedly took a ton of time and a ton of money and it's a ton of risk. But that's if you want to get something approved, that's kind of the way that you got to go. And if the municipality really doesn't want it, you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
And so it's huge. I mean, it's basically saying you can or you cannot. And there's not much you can do if they say you cannot.
And so if I'm looking at sort of that sort of business model, what do I need to roll this out? I've got some property, a couple acres, you know, what's sort of those first steps to roll this out? And then, you know, I also, you know, part of our business is commercial insurance. So I'm just curious too on like what kind of insurance coverages do I need to think about as well in that?
Yeah. So step one, always zoning, right? Yeah. So unless you go on that site, MuniCode, and you see explicitly that truck parking is allowed, I would verify that with the county or the municipality, right? They can send you a zoning verification letter that says, you know, this use is approved or not approved. It's conditionally subject to site plan approval and all that stuff. That would be step one. And step two, what I would do if I wasn't, you know, familiar with the business in a particular area is I would start doing research. There's not a lot of data sources available on truck parking, but everybody has the ability to get in the car and drive around and go to the truck stops and the travel centers, see if they're full. Is there another managed parking facility anywhere near you, right? What are their rates? Right. Are they full? What are they saying? Talk to some of their customers as they come in and out of the gate, right? hey, are you happy? Do you need more parking? You know, what are you guys paying? Like, try to put together a picture as to what you're going to be able to produce out of this site. And then you got to look at improvements, right? So this is why I always say kind of do the bare necessities, figure out what you're going to need to spend on improvements if the site is not already improved. And then it's math, right? Is this going to work for me or not? You know, are my dollars better suited being put to work somewhere else, or do I believe in this enough to you know, take this risk and open up a yard?
Right.
And that's all kind of preliminary, you know, sort of planning stuff. Imagine you've got an improved site already. That's parkable surface, fence, gate, lit. I would say call us, right? Call someone yep. that's going to allow you to operate this facility remotely with efficiency. Our system, like I said, inventory, invoicing, billing, payments, access control. That's our bread and butter. And it really reduces a lot of the, you know, your labor costs and the, you know, perceived headache associated with multi-tenant managed parking.
The trucking piece for us is kind of that necessary piece to our main business of agriculture equipment. So even our service trucks fall inside of that category as well, where we need to comply with DOT regulations. With the 5,500 trucks, we're kind of right on that fringe point, but at the same time, we still are required to follow DOT regulations. So the biggest need for us was having somebody that we could lean on for information, somebody that knew what they were talking about, and CNS was able to offer that for us. So we have just shy of 200 employees here at AgriTier. Now, not all of those employees are on our driver file, but a good portion of them are. And that's kind of what got us with CNS. We realized that this is bigger than us. We would have to have somebody at least 3/4 of the time devoted to doing this position. CNS gave us that opportunity for being able to have a team of people that we could reach out to with questions, but they would also help us out with the management of staying on top of the previous things we had talked about with med cards, IFTA filing, DOT regulations, that type of thing. CNS offers us a report from like our DOT violations you know, throughout the year. And we're able to look at that and say, okay, hey, where do we need to get better? Maybe where are some of the training opportunities that we need to do with our team if we're seeing consistencies or repeat offenses or whatever that we need to be taking a look at. So they offer us that type of help and also recommendations on how to get better. For us, not being in the trucking world, having somebody to lean on that does know what they're talking about, is familiar with the regulations, is really helpful. So I would say that would be our biggest recommendation.
And then, so again, I mentioned the insurance piece. I am curious, like, what kind of coverages, because you mentioned like the sort of that hazmat spill or something like that. You know, that's a worst case situation, which you probably don't usually need to deal with. But what are some of those basic coverages that you need to think about?
Yeah, so hazmat, like environmental protections, right? General liability are the big ones.
Yeah.
Some other guys will insure against, you know, other potential losses. You know, if there's a building, you're going to need the property insurance or flood insurance, you know, wind, all that stuff. But the big ones are protect yourself against environmental issues and general liability.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, break down. So the Rig Hut solution, you know, I know you quickly ran through the different pieces that you help when managing it, but break it down. Like what does this look like? How do I interact with it? Is it, you know, do I need to be involved heavily with this new location, or like if I start truck parking, or how involved should I be? Do I want to be? And how much does Rig Hut help me with that process?
We take a lot off your plate. Like if you're looking at these landlords or operators, first thing they got to do is generate revenue, right? It's got to be, you know, they have to be rewarded for the risk and the effort that they're putting in, right? So one thing that was always an issue for us, and we always hear it in our demos, is keeping track of inventory, right? So
yeah.
If you've just got a giant Google sheet and there's 200 guys in there, if someone left, maybe he didn't call you, or maybe you forgot to record it because you were driving, you know, whatever it is. So you think you're sold out, but maybe you've got 10 spaces available and someone's calling you looking for parking, and you either tell them there's no parking when there is, or you have no idea, right? And now you've got to get in your car or send someone to the yard. Hey, walk around the yard and figure out whether we have space available or not, right? So that's an obvious inefficiency that we completely automate. So our inventory system is updated based on your existing reservation and your move out activity, right? So It facilitates monthly parking, daily and weekly parking. Everybody gets notifications on the short-term stuff like, hey, you know, for example, Luke, if you're parking overnight, hey, Luke, your reservation's expiring, you know, on March 6th at 11:30 p.m. Do you need to extend? Right. So they can extend. And then we've got the gate logs. Right. So if there's not an extension request, they're going to need to make one in order to reaccess that facility. So inventory is a big one. You don't have to be tracking that. Right. That's all automated. Invoicing, billing, and payments are big on monthly parking, right? So instead of having, I mean, imagine like if, again, let's use 200, you've got 200 tenants, you know, you're either going to have to build a pretty sophisticated, like automated recurring invoice generation system, or you could just use us, which grabs the information that's already in the system. This is the driver. This is the company. This is the email. This is the phone number. This is what they're parking. This is when they arrived, right? This is how much they're supposed to be paying. So we initiate all those, again, automatically on predetermined dates throughout the month based on when the landlord wants to send them out. And payments are all online, right? That's an obvious efficiency. So you don't have to be tracking, you know, your bank statement or your Venmo, making sure that those payments are accurately being recorded, right? And then the access control is a really big one that took us, you know, quite a bit of time to develop. Whereby we can tie everything into the gate, right? So there's no more static gate codes where like all 200 guys use the code 1234 and then it gets given out to some other guys. Now you got people in the yard that you don't know, and it's a problem, right? So everything is linked to the driver or the carrier's account. Carriers can add multiple drivers if they've got multiple spaces reserved, and they can add and revoke users, right? So if you've got someone, if you're a carrier, you got someone that's working for you, maybe he moved on, you can eliminate him from your user management portal, and he'll no longer be able to access the facility under the spaces that you booked. So those are the big ones. I mean, the main driver is we're driving efficiency for the operator, and we're promoting the professional management and operation of these facilities, right? We're taking the guys that maybe it was a whiteboard and an Excel sheet that only got thought about, you know, on the first of the month. Like, we're eliminating all that friction so that landlords can invest more into these facilities, open up more facilities, and ultimately try to find equilibrium on that, you know, supply demand.
Yeah. Makes complete sense and sounds like a no-brainer. I am curious. I'm a marketing guy, and so I'm obviously curious on that marketing piece. You know, hey, I've got a place now. It's set up. How do I find people to park their trucks at my site? Do I need to find the trucking companies nearby that and create a relationship with them? Or is there, yeah, what are those different ways of letting people know I'm here?
There's a few different ways that you can do it. The good news is there's not a ton of competition locally, right? So still super fragmented. So there's not a lot of sophistication on the marketing side when you're going direct, right, to the driver.
Yes.
There are marketplaces available that do a great job. Typically, they're sending you the short-term stuff, not really the monthlies. But what you want to be doing if you're opening up a site is, yes, use the marketplaces for the spaces that you have available, especially if you're just starting. But you want to have your own sort of platform, right? You want to have, if you have road exposure, you want to sign. It can be real simple. Truck parking, phone number. The important thing there is whatever phone number you put up there, that guy's got to answer the phone, right? Because this is 24/7, 365. I mean, you need to provide that service. You can spin up a basic site. We can also spin up sites for our customers so that you get the direct traffic. And then you can market really however you want. If you've got your own infrastructure, I mean, some guys do paid ads. Some guys do billboards, a lot of SEO, local SEO. Because like I said, there's not a ton of competition, and you'll really be able to stand out and rank if you put a little bit of effort into that.
Yeah. You know, whether it's, I mean, I agree. It's not that hard to find. Like, if you reach out to manufacturing locations, warehousing locations that maybe they don't have drivers or their own fleet themselves. Maybe they have a fleet and they're expanding and they need somewhere else to park other than their location. Sure. But then there's carrier or companies out there that trucking isn't their focus. They have the freight, but not the trucking. So it's like, hey, I need these drivers that are coming here constantly that I'm interacting with. they need somewhere to stay sometimes. So having those solutions being available is another great way to do that. So I agree, like, do your research, create those relationships, network with the industry. Everybody's happy. Everybody wants truck parking to be a solved thing, and everybody's facing that issue. So yeah. And then of course, just, you know, the basic marketing of, like you said, just, you know, Google Maps and getting a website or basic information out there and tagging it all correctly. It makes complete sense. But
yeah, you touched on something that I missed, which I think is super useful. We had a lot of success with it ourselves, which is talk to your neighbors, right?
Yeah.
If you've gone through the preliminary sort of discovery phase and you've determined that, you know, this is going to be a worthwhile use of your time, talk to your neighbors, because there is some sort of freight traffic around you normally, right? So that can be an easy way for operators to, you know, reduce some of their risk. You know, maybe guy down the street books 20 spaces from you before you even open. Now you're like, okay, I feel, you know, a little more confident in what I'm doing here.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. And I mean, like I said, we recently had our you know, trucking conference, and there's a lot of different networking events, state trucking associations and different things like that, where there's a lot of ways to be able to network and asking people in the industry, hey, what are the issues you're facing? How can we help? And you know, and those type of networking places as well is just such an easy way to plug in. Even if you don't even know the industry, it's an easy way to plug in, get to know the industry as well. So, you know, easy research. All right. So I'm curious, you know, Rig Hut, it's managing those, helping manage those locations so they can improve efficiency. You know, you sort of touched on, you know, if you're pricing, you're researching the pricing of other sites nearby. What are they doing? What amenities are out there? What's the availability? I'm just curious, as Rig Hut grows, what does that look like?
We've got a fairly robust pipeline from a tech development standpoint, but the goal is always the same. It's drive efficiencies and you know, promote the professional operation of these yards, right? So I'm not sure I want to get into specifics just a second, but we've got a lot of, you know, cool stuff coming out in terms of functionality in the tech specifically. I mean, we're growing fairly fast already. I think we're going to continue to accelerate our pace of growth as we find more of these facilities and as more landlords kind of enter the market. But we're just going to keep plugging away. You know, I mean, we do one thing, basically. That's it. We talk to operators basically all day, every day. You know, we hear what their problems are, and then we build the product to meet their spec. And so far, it's worked out pretty well.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then are there certain hotspots out in the country, and do you guys help manage all across all the U.S.? It doesn't really matter where they're at?
It doesn't matter where they're at. Hotspots, I mean, for sure. I mean, South Florida, anywhere. Port Newark, anywhere. Philly is pretty tight as well. Port Long Beach, you know, Southern California. A lot of activity out of Laredo. Laredo's an interesting one. And then the other major freight markets, right? Like Chicago's got a lot of activity there, but there's a lot of land, right? So it's not as tight of a market. Basically, anywhere coastal, that's where you've got the real, you know, exacerbated shortage.
Exactly. Like you mentioned the ports. You know, there's a lot of traffic and freight being moved through those locations. So that's obviously a fantastic, you know, location site in the trucking world. You know, where are new trucking companies being opened up? And obviously it's, you know, Texas, California, Illinois, and then you go from there to other big locations.
Sorry to cut you off, but that would actually be something really interesting for me. Have you tracked that metric over a long time? Where are new trucking companies incorporating and why?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure the FMCSA has stats on that, where new DOT numbers are being established. And, you know, partly it's population. So if you think California and Texas, that makes sense. But also because of big, you know, port locations and things like that, or it's a bread butter of whether it's, you know, agriculture or you know, import, export, whatever it is, that those tend to be the locations, population. But like, you know, like Illinois, we mentioned Chicago, that is probably, I want to say that's one or two on, you know, states that where they open that up. And yeah, that data is out there. I want to say we see a lot like South Carolina. We see, you know, again, Florida, Georgia, as a big need. And then New York tends to have, you know, a decent amount as well. So yeah, there's these different hotspots, where they're opening up new companies. Now that might be, if you think about the trucking industry, you know, 90 some percent is owner operators, one guy with a truck, but, you know, it does give you a tell of, at least on a statewide basis, you know, what they're looking for. Then, you know, on the insurance side, when we think about things, we say, hey, these trucking companies are looking to open up as affordable as possible, especially in today's freight market. It's sort of a freight recession that we've been dealing with. And, you know, to get potentially cheaper insurance rates for your premiums, the idea is staying outside of the metro area, or like being nearby, but outside that metro area of a city. And so having truck parking, not, you know, maybe not inside the city, but just outside where it's easy access to the, you know, the routes and the lanes, the highways and the interstates. I mean, that makes a lot of sense, because that's where a lot of these companies want to open up at the beginning. So yeah, those are just different things that we think about on our end.
Something we looked at recently was, you know, could we get a sense as to whether or not there are premium savings available to the landlord or the operator if you meet, you know, X, Y, and Z criteria on technology and security, for example, right? So yes, that they could, you know, pass some of those savings on to the end users, right? The drivers in this case. We just started talking about this recently, so I'm not super, you know, dialed in on it. I was curious if you maybe had a thought on that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, on the insurance perspective, obviously the only thing they care about is risk, right? And so if you have technology or processes or, you know, things that are in place to lower that risk. So like you mentioned, hey, if this truck parking site, is it gated? Is it lit? Is it, you know, a safe place? That's obviously a no-brainer on a management side, but for insurance side, it's a no-brainer because it lowers the risk of whatever issues might happen. But then again, you know, having maybe, you know, cameras on site that's monitoring, or you know, other types of systems that are out there that may be relatively easy to establish for your parking location, but with the end mindset of safety and lowering risk, then yeah, it's sort of that no-brainer as well.
So I'll tell you what sparked it. We just, we signed on a new customer, local guy, you know, single facility, sold his business, still owns the real estate. It's ready to go, wants to park trucks. So we put in our SmartGate system and he called me, you know, a couple of days later and he's like, hey, Jake, I just got my insurance quote back. And this is a 2.5 acre site that can park just over 40 trucks. It's a little bit of a weird shape. And his quoted premium was $38,000 a year, just GL, just general liability, no property, yeah, no flood, no wind, no nothing. And I haven't looked in a really long time, but it just sounded exorbitantly high to me. This is South Florida, so it's expensive in general, but
yeah, exactly.
That's what kind of sparked it. And we were like, hey, maybe there's a way that we could, you know, drive efficiencies on the premium side as well. So still early.
Yeah, I'd be interested on that too, if you find something, because I mean, you know, from commercial business coverage for like a carrier, like there is a plethora of different types of information that they look at. You know, like I mentioned Metro, I mentioned, you know, there's just so much information that they look at that any little piece that's a red flag can just, insurance is a tough market too right now for them to be successful and managing that risk. So it's, yeah, it's always interesting that whole process and what they think about on the underwriting side.
Sure. It's kind of foreign to me. I mean, I don't, you know, what do you call it? Actuarial science, right? Like the analysis of risk. It's kind of, you know, I don't understand any of it, but I'll tell you, down here, you know, South Florida insurance premiums have gone absolutely bananas with all the storm losses that we've had in the last 5 years.
Well, then you got the fires out in California that, you know, I can't even imagine. And then when something happens like that, then you got the rules of, well, I can't improve my location. I have to build it exactly as was when something happens. And maybe that was decades old. So there's so much of a mess in the whole system. I can't even imagine. I know, you know, in the trucking world, there's a lot of different fluctuations of carriers being like, I don't even want to touch that type of insurance anymore, and getting out, just the way it is.
That's kind of what the carriers are saying down here, right? Like, we have Citizens Insurance, which is like the state, I'm gonna butcher the term, but it's like the state sponsored insurance carrier that is like the backstop if no private, you know, insurance carriers are going to insure property down here. So it goes through like phases, basically. Like, the private guys will say, you know, this is no longer profitable for us, so we are leaving the state of Florida. And then Citizens comes in and backs them up, and then they pass some rate increase, and then the private guys come back. So, but if you look at, like, when I was learning this business, my sophomore year of college, right, we were underwriting insurance premiums on buildings to be 75 cents a foot, maybe a dollar if you had a really old building. Right now, most of these guys are underwriting like $250 to $3 a foot. So,
yeah, I believe it. Yeah, I and then like the whole real estate thing with, like, you know, COVID too. You know, people went from like the single homes to apartments to now commercial, and it was like this big fluctuation. And that's why I understand this idea of like, hey, is truck parking a fad? You know, like this, you know. Doesn't even make sense. That mindset, I totally get that, but it's like, man, get to know the trucking industry just a little bit, and that's the biggest pain point that could easily be solved. There's no reason why that this solution it should be easily solved, truck parking. And it's just, we need more and more of those people being willing to open up these new sites, and then using a company like yourself to be able to manage it simply for them to make profit off of it. So it's just, I appreciate you coming on and being able to talk about it. And hopefully we get that message out there to the people to, hey, look into it, because it's a real issue on both sides, and there's real solutions on both sides. And it's a perfect merriment of both worlds. Yeah, I know we touched on, you know, if you're wanting to start up this type of business on the management side, we talked about the truck parking problem in general. Is there any other piece that you want to especially address before we sign out?
I think that's it. I mean, if you think you can help solve the problem, feel free to reach out to us. I mean, we'll shoot you straight, right? If we think it's not feasible, you know, we'll tell you we're not going to intentionally steer you in the wrong direction. So if we can be a resource to anybody, feel free to reach out to us anytime.
Sounds great. Hey, yep. So if you're listening, let us know down in the comments below. We'll have some contact information, or we'll at least be able to shoot the information off to Jake and Rig Hut. Let us know in the comment below. Go follow Rig Hut, social media, wherever, and check them out on their website as well to learn about how they can help if you're looking into getting into this, because it just makes sense. Again, like, subscribe, chat with us down below. And as always, stay safe out there.